Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Leading Britain's conversation, Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Simon Marks is LBC's Washington correspondent and joins us on the line now. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Nick.
So, they're not even pretending to follow the law now, are they?
No, I mean, it's been an absolutely stunning weekend here. It's interesting that they use the weekends now on a regular basis to really push the pedal to the metal. And that's what the Trump administration did this weekend with regard to deportations. As you know, President Donald Trump is not happy with the pace of mass deportations. He promised that millions and millions of people would be forced out of this country, and he has become frustrated with the fact that his deportation effort keeps getting tangled up in the courts. So in a bid to supercharge the effort, on Friday, he reached back into history. He invoked the Alien Enemies Act of 1789, which I think has only been used three times since 1789, perhaps most infamously in 1942, when President Franklin Delano Roosevelt used it to order the internment of 120,000 Japanese Americans who were held in what are often described as concentration camps here in America during the Second World War. Trump lit upon the 1789 Alien Enemies Act and said it gave him the power as President of the United States to bypass all due process and simply to order the deportation, initially, he said, of five Venezuelans, members, he claimed, of Tren de Aragua, this prison gang that started in Venezuela and that the United States now designates as a foreign terrorist organization. A judge here in Washington, D.C., on Saturday afternoon, issued a ruling saying that these deportation flights must not take place, that he needed more time to consider whether this 18th century law can in fact be used as the President of the United States had suggested. And not only was he ordering deportation flights not to begin, but he even said that if there were any planes already in the air, and he didn't know if there were, because the government lawyers were playing fast and loose during the hearing, but if there were planes already in the air, they needed to be ordered to turn around in the middle of their flights and return to the United States with the deportees on board. We then learnt hours later that, in fact, almost 300 suspected members of Tren de Aragua, and remember, these people have gone through no legal process whatsoever beyond the immigration authorities here pointing a finger at them and saying, you're a member of Tren de Aragua, you are a threat to the national security of the United States, I'm pulling you off the streets and I'm sticking you on a plane. Not only were planes in flight and not turned around, but 238 deportees arrived in El Salvador, where the populist president Nayib Bukele had agreed to accept them. He's being paid by the United States to accept them. And on Nayib Bukele's social media feeds, we saw absolutely astonishing video of the brutal treatment, the manhandling, the shackling, the forced shearing of the hair of these alleged Tren de Aragua members as they arrived to be incarcerated in El Salvador for at least the next year with no access to any kind of due legal process. And they could be there, you know, potentially for a very, very long time to come. So this was up until this weekend, the question of whether Donald Trump was going to adhere to legal rulings, whether he was going to obey the courts, was theoretical. We now know that this government is willing flagrantly to ignore court orders, and in this case, to deport at least 300 people that a judge said must not be deported, must, if they are in the process of being removed from the United States, must be returned to the United States. And this is not the only case where this has happened. In Boston, we learned this weekend that a doctor from Lebanon who has been working at Brown University's hospital system, working on kidney treatments and the identification of kidney disease, she was detained suddenly at Logan Airport in Boston last Thursday when she arrived back in the United States from a family trip in Lebanon. She had a valid H-1B visa. We have absolutely no idea why she was detained. She was deported from the country again in violation of a court order. So this now takes things here to an entirely new plane. A president of the United States, a Trump administration, he was backed up today on social media by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, perfectly willing simply to trample on courts and their rulings. And this is a judicial system that already can't keep up with the dizzying pace of activity that deliberately the Trump administration has been engaged in the nearly 9 weeks since the president's inauguration. So that suggests a very, very dark road ahead here that's being taken by an administration that simply has no interest in working with Congress, absolutely no interest in obeying court orders, and simply plans to rule by presidential diktat.
So what can the courts actually do?
Not very much. I mean, they clearly can't do anything at this point to bring those deported inmates back to the United States. And ultimately, the sanctions that they can levy against the government are limited because, of course, the Supreme Court has issued an opinion that says that any sitting or former president of the United States is immune from prosecution for any acts that they commit in line with their official duties. Now, there could be more court orders that say, actually, you can't use this 1789 Alien Enemies Act the way that you're planning to use it, and the administration will then appeal those rulings immediately to the Supreme Court. But we've seen other court rulings that the administration in the last few days has absolutely trashed. I mean, there's been a series of court rulings. One has said they don't have the power to lay off all the federal workers that Elon Musk is laying off root and branch all over the government. And so far, they were ordered to reinstate some of them. And so far, they've completely ignored the ruling. Indeed, the White House press secretary has described it as unconstitutional. Well, we have no idea if it's unconstitutional or not, because it hasn't risen to the level of the Supreme Court yet. So they are now beginning the process of routinely ignoring the courts. And the courts appear to have very little capacity to do very much about it, which is a real shock because, you know, we all went through, you know, Trump won and thought, oh, well, at least, you know, the guardrails have held just about. And, you know, there was tremendous sort of speculation about the sanctity of the constitutional arrangements here, this sort of co-equal branches of government, the presidency, Congress and the courts. You know, at least the court system was still there. Well, they're now bulldozing the court system, completely steamrolling it.
So the law in America now is whatever Donald Trump thinks.
Yes. I think that's pretty much where we are this weekend. Now, clearly, the American Civil Liberties Union and other civil rights groups will continue taking legal action in a bid to try and tie his hands. But in the absence of any backbone on Capitol Hill by the Republicans up there, who remain completely supine in the face of Donald Trump's entreaties and onslaught, there's not very much, I think, that is likely to be done to try and constrain him.
And the logical extension of that is that the law that says that a president can only sit twice and for a four-year term in each case is also subject to Donald Trump's opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, I find it so bizarre. Again, today, the Washington Post had an article all about, you know, the runners and riders on the Democratic Party side of the aisle for 2028. You know, we've seen Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago, former ambassador to Japan. He's apparently planning a presidential run. Pete Buttigieg, the former secretary of transportation in the Biden administration, he's thinking of mounting a presidential run. All of these articles are sort of written in the American press as though it is absolutely preordained that we're going to have a normal series of midterm elections in November of next year and then a normal presidential election in 2028.
Yeah.
And there is no reason, observing what we're seeing in only week 9 of this administration, to believe that that is necessarily the case.
Yeah, I mean, I read the Washington Post and the New York Times, and bar a few stories here and there which contain a little outrage, it doesn't seem as though they're actually living in the real world anymore.
No, I mean, somebody
needs to wake them up.
My favourite aspect about the New York Times at the moment is the adjectives they choose to use. On Friday, after Trump made this completely unhinged speech at the Department of Justice, attacking the Department of Justice, attacking the news media, the New York Times described the speech as unusual. I mean,
Simon,
unusual.
Yeah, Simon, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for that.